Thank you, Katie, for reading our passage for today. So, we as a church, we have decided to focus on servanthood and what a servant truly is and what a servant's heart is. And this is actually that our whole church will be doing, all three congregations will be having a short sermon series. So I'll be starting us off here today. And we're actually going to take a couple weeks off. We're going to have a couple guest speakers the next 2 weeks. And then Pastor Jeff will be back first week of August. So today, just starting us off, and we'll be going through various passages in 1 Timothy to share different insights as to what it means to be a servant and what it means to serve. So before I begin, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, teach us what it means to be called to serve, Lord. Lord, some of us may have apprehensions, concerns about our abilities to serve. But Lord, teach us what it truly means to serve in the church, to serve you, and to use even the lowest of lows, lowest of people who feel who are the lowest of lows in their lives. Lord, teach us and show us what it means to be led by you, by your Spirit. And Lord, teach us what it means to truly serve you here in this place, in the church, and serve one another as well. So Lord, thank you for this time together. Lord, may these words be glorifying to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I don't know if we use this phrase anymore. The title of my sermon is Called Out. And my college pastor would always use this term a lot. He's kind of old, though. He's like 10, 12 years older than me. So being called out and getting called out, it is a pretty modern and contemporary word. And I feel like whenever we use it, it's fairly negative. Like, I'm calling you out. Like when someone challenges you because they don't believe what you're saying. Like, let's say you boast about how much you can lift. Like, oh, I can bench like 250. Like, yo, I'm calling you out, man. I don't think you can do that. Right? It's usually to kind of challenge someone, or someone says like, oh, I can run a mile in 5 minutes, and you're like, let's go to the track right now. I'm calling you out. Challenge you to do that right now. Right? That's how we use it. When someone is being challenged. And this, I don't know, I feel like this happens to guys all the time. We always call each other out and challenge each other in this way. And I don't know, for me, I don't know if I've been called out very often, but if I were to be, I would be like, what, are you serious? Are you challenging me right now? Are you challenging my manhood? Do you not believe that I can lift 250 pounds? I mean, I can't lift 250 pounds. But we, men especially, we feel very like, insulted by this, like our very essence has been challenged. Like, who are you to say that I can't do this, right? And for some reason, it's hard for us to admit when we're wrong. It's just, I don't know, it's our flaw. But I don't know, we do get very emotional about these things and worked up when we're challenged and called out. And some of us take it very, very personally and we take offense to it. We don't like it a lot. We don't like to be challenged and called out. So today, I want us to think about this passage from 1 Timothy as God calling you out. Right? God is calling you out and challenging you. And what is he challenging you to do? He is challenging you to serve. He's calling you out to serve. So like many men would take it personally, do you take it personally when God calls you out? Do you feel like it's challenging who you are? Or instead, do you consider it a burden? Does God's challenge not mean anything to you? Does it not hold the same weight of when a friend would challenge you? Or even a stranger challenging you? I don't know, I feel like some of us would feel more offended if even a stranger challenges us, when a stranger calls us out. So why is that? Why is God's call not meaningful enough for us? Or maybe it does mean something to you, and you feel it in your heart, but you just don't want to accept it. Right? You don't want to answer that call. Maybe you're scared. You say to God, no, not now. Not right now. I don't want none of that, right? Whatever the reason, when God calls us out, many of us don't accept. We run away. We refuse to believe that it's for us. You could ask any pastor, the calling to become a pastor, we've all run away at some point or another. We've all tried to refuse it. Maybe we don't take it seriously. Maybe we don't think it affects us. I hope that today that we can all know and believe that God has called all of us. And He is calling us out. All of us who claim to believe and trust in Christ as our Lord and Savior, He is calling all of you. In some way or another, He is calling you to serve. And I hope that after today we can hear that call, accept it, and truly serve the way He wants us to. And for us, it is not optional. Serving is not optional. When you're a Christian, when you say that you surrender your life to Christ, that you trust in Him, that you are giving your life to Him, you are being called to serve in some way. That is a command. If you are not serving, you are disobeying Christ. You are disobeying God. And we're not just meant to come here on Sunday and listen to some nice music and listen to some guy talk about the Bible. That's not what church is about, right? Maybe you don't like the music or the talking. Maybe you just come here for food and just to hang out with some other Asian people, right? But that's not what church is about. That's not why we come here every week. That's not what the church is meant to be, for you to just sit here and feel better about yourself. The Bible has so many instances where we are called and commanded to serve, for all believers to serve Him. So I'm going to read a few of them. They're up here on the PowerPoint. 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Romans 7:6. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. And lastly, Galatians 5:13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And these are just a few passages that teach us that as believers we are people free from sin, that we can now use the freedom that we have to serve one another. Just a few, but I want us to think today, how can we serve? Why don't we serve? What is stopping us from serving? What is missing in our hearts? And the great thing about the church, about what we believe, about what this community is about, is that the church offers something that nothing else offers in this world. It is a chance to be a part of God's kingdom work. Right? That God has called us to work alongside Him and be used by Him to do God's amazing kingdom work. Right? God set up the church so that His name can be glorified and expanded, that His kingdom would grow, that He would be praised for His glorious grace. But how meaningful is that? And it's such a meaningful calling that we have to say that we are part of saving souls, to impact lives in a spiritual way, and not just to serve, just to do good things. I know people do that all the time. People serve just to do good things all the time. Right? We go to soup kitchens, and we go to food pantries, and we even maybe, you know, feed homeless people sometimes. But this is not just about the physical. This is about the spiritual. Being a part of saving souls. And we'll, you know, talk about this a little bit more in my message here today. But this is such an important calling that we all have as believers. That we are part of the work being done by the church to serve the kingdom of God. I hope you guys are excited about that. That you have, you feel in your heart and know in your heart that that is something very, very special. As believers, this is the most important thing we are called to do. And that's why our theme this year is Reach One to Teach One. That's what it's all about. So we can teach the truth, the gospel. And that is all of our, that's all of our callings, to teach, to reach, and to be challenged to serve the church. So, you know, I want us to take a closer look at this passage. You know, Paul is very unusual. He's the one who's writing this letter. If you think about Paul big picture, he is an amazing apostle, amazing man of God. But he, if you're reading this passage carefully, he is kind of basically saying, I have nothing to do with this. He is saying, I have done nothing. And I feel like for us, a lot of our challenges come from the fact that we think we're weak. We think we're failures in some way, and that we don't have this ability to serve. That we don't have maybe the physical tools. That we don't have, I don't know, we just feel inadequate. A lot of us feel insecure, maybe. But Paul is saying that, even me, Apostle Paul, I have nothing to say that it is my work. He says, Christ has appointed me. That's what Paul is saying. So here, he never gives credit to himself. He gives all the credit to Christ. And I want to just point out three different aspects about calling. And hopefully you will be encouraged by what the Apostle Paul has for us today. So our first point, you are called despite your passions. Paul says in verse 13, he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent opponent. Basically, he was the worst type of sinner. The worst type of sinner. Paul, in his previous life with Saul, he was a murderer. He killed Christians. And you'll probably think, oh, murder is probably the worst sin that you could commit. Right? But that's actually not true. The worst sin you could commit is being a blasphemer. That is the worst sin that you could commit. Because that is the only unforgivable sin. Someone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit. And you can find that in Matthew 12:31, Mark 3:29, if you guys want to look at it. But the reason why being a blasphemer is an unforgivable sin is because you're basically denying Christ. That's what it means. You're a denier of the gospel. You are saying, I do not believe in this. And I'm going to, and Paul took it to the next level, saying, I'm going to persecute those and challenge those who believe in this nonsense. And that is the worst possible thing, because you cannot become a Christian if you deny the gospel. And that is why it is the unforgivable sin. But this is who Paul was. Paul denied the truth of the gospel, and he was one of the most ardent opponents of the gospel. And you could probably compare this to a lot of modern day atheists, especially those who denounce Christianity. I feel like atheists are very, very kind of I don't know, strong in their opposition to Christianity, and that's something we have to face as Christians, something we have to endure. But that's who Paul was. He was the worst type of sinner. Worse than a murderer, worse than an adulterer. But what happened? He was called anyway. He was called anyway. He's called by Christ on that road to Damascus. And afterwards, he started saying in the synagogues, Jesus is the Son of God. He started proclaiming the gospel. His past sins did not matter anymore. No matter what you think you've done, it doesn't matter anymore. Don't let that stop you from serving. Don't let your past sins dictate how you are to serve the church, because it really doesn't matter anymore. If you have repented of those sins, if you have confessed of them, then God has forgiven you. That is the gospel. That is what we believe. And so despite your past sins, you are called. If you consider yourself a Christian, you are called. Yeah, Paul had a miraculous calling. And everyone knew Paul was a bad guy. Ananias, the guy that Paul would meet while he was blind, Ananias was a Christian who heard the voice of God. And he was questioning God. He was like, Paul is a bad man. And not in a good way. He's a horrible, horrible man. He is a horrible, horrible person. He has a reputation of being a horrible, horrible person. But God says, he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So Paul, he himself knew he was the worst of sinners. He has done everything wrong that you could possibly imagine. But he has been appointed by Christ anyway. We who say that we believe, we have been chosen. We are chosen instruments of God's work. Again, no matter how dark you think your past sins are, you are all called. God uses you anyway. You are all called to serve. Now, it's important that If you repent of your sins, you are forgiven. But if you are unrepentant, if you are still living in open rebellion against God, which means that you know you're sinning against God and you doing it without regret or without repenting or without confessing, then you probably aren't called to serve. And we'll go into that more in the next couple weeks, but in order to be, even to consider yourself a true Christian, I think you need to have a heart that is repentant to God. You need to be right with God. That's why a lot of churches say, if you're not right with God, if you're living in open rebellion against God, you shouldn't take communion. Because you are saying, God, I don't care about what you have called me to do. I don't care about what you're telling me to obey and to be obedient to you. And I'm going to do what I want to do. Your God is not Christ. Your God is yourself if you're living that way. So that's why, yes, your sins don't matter. But if you're not repentant of them, if you do not confess them to the Lord, then you're not called to serve. Matthew 6:24 says, you cannot serve two masters. And in that context, he's talking about money. But if your sins are your master, then obviously God is not your master. So if you can confess and pray for forgiveness, then yes, you are called. You are part of God's kingdom. But if you are not, I hope that you can search your hearts here today. And hopefully God will speak to you, despite your past sins. All right, secondly, You are all called despite your weaknesses and your insecurities. Paul knew that his ability to share the gospel was not based on any of his strength or success. In fact, he said that he acted ignorantly in unbelief, and that the grace of the Lord overflowed in him with faith and love. So Paul is clearly saying that his faith, that his unbelief was only overcome by the grace of God. Only by God's grace was his faith overcome. So Paul was called despite his failures, despite his lack of faith, he was called. Many of us may feel that we are unable, weak, incapable of serving. But we should never, ever believe that. We should never believe that we are unable to do something in the name of the Lord. Well, okay, that's not totally true. Can't make that as a blanket statement. Like, you know, if you want to be on the praise team, like, if you can't play an instrument, you can't play an instrument, fine. You can't be on the worship team, right? You are incapable of playing an instrument. But doesn't mean you can't learn, right? Doesn't mean you can't be better at it and do it eventually. But this has more to do with those of us who feel we are not Christian enough, right? If we feel we're not faithful enough. If that is your thinking, then honestly, none of us are going to be good enough. None of us are faithful enough. Who can say that we have all lived faithful lives? None of us. So we cannot use that as an excuse. None of us have ever lived good enough lives for God. And Paul knows this about himself. That's why he claims that grace overflowed in faith. It came overflowing in him. And that the Lord is the one who gives him the strength, who gives him the proper heart to serve. And that's what it comes down to, the heart to serve. And even this heart to serve, it doesn't come just magically. It comes by His grace, by His love. And it comes through time. Right? It takes time for us to develop in our faith in Him. And God does many things in your life to show His grace. Right? Just Max's testimony, just sharing how God spoke to him on that hill. God does that to all of us. And we have to be willing to hear those things and see those things in our lives so that our faith can grow. But God also gives us physical ability. I think that's very true. God does things for believers that we thought could never happen. For one example, one of the greatest evangelists of our time, his name is Dwight L. Moody. You probably have heard of him. There's a school named after him out in Chicago, the Moody Bible Institute. That's a well-known school in Christian circles. And this man, Dwight Moody, some say that he's preached in front of maybe 100 million people in his life as a preacher. And it's natural to think, oh, he preached in front of so many people. He must have been a great preacher. This guy must have been amazing, right? But when he started out as a preacher, he was not known for his speaking ability. Some would say he was a below-average speaker, and that might be even generous. He was uneducated. He never went to college. He never went to theological training. And in a biography written about him, the author notes that one time in a service, he tried kind of just saying a few words, and someone in the service told him that he should serve God most effectively by keeping still. Basically saying, yeah, you shouldn't say anything. So this guy, Dwight Moody, he was never known as a gifted speaker. And some would say he's not very good, just like, But thousands of people have come to know Christ through his ministry. Thousands and thousands of people. Some would say he had like horrible grammar, like people, like, what is he saying? But still, thousands of people came to know Christ through this man. A school is named after him. It was God's power that helped him. Not his giftedness, not his natural abilities, but it is God's infinite power. And that's how lives were changed through him. I hope we feel that way about our abilities. You know, not all of us are going to be, you know, Billy Graham or something like that. You know, we're not going to be the greatest teachers. We're not going to be the most eloquent speakers. But God can use you. If you have that heart to serve, God will use you. God will somehow use your, I don't know, incapable selves and just somehow do miracles. That's what God does. God helps you even just in the physical abilities. To be better at serving, to be better at dealing with people, to be better at teaching. Whatever God is calling you to do, God helps you to develop those things and uses you to do supernatural things. Again, the most important thing is that you have the heart to grow in faith in Christ. The heart to trust in Jesus and the desire to serve Him. That even though you feel incapable, that you have a desire to serve and to have a passion to do so. If you have this call, I mean, if you have this heart, you are being called out. God is challenging you. I know that God is placing in you a stirring and a passion to serve in some way. But you might feel, I'm not good at this. I can't do this. You know, maybe you feel like you want to serve children, but you're like, I hate children. I can't stand them. But don't worry, God uses you. I'm serious. I know people who said they hated children. They would never do children's ministry. They've been serving for like 5-6 years now in children's ministry. God will use you. You are being called out to serve the Lord despite your weaknesses and insecurities. God can and will use you. And thirdly, and this is probably most importantly, you are called to serve so that sinners can be saved. Verse 16 of our passage says, "But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." Now, I briefly mentioned this earlier, but I can't emphasize this enough about our calling to serve. Our service isn't about how good our worship services are, right? Or how good our programs are, or how good the youth ministry or children's ministry is. Ultimately, serving is about people. That's what it's about. It's about people. It's about you. And what we're doing is we're doing everything we can to have good worship services and good programs so that the people who come can grow in Christ, can see Christ for who He is. It's about people. I know that some of us may feel serving is tedious and burdensome. We just do like menial tasks for it. You know, like setting up chairs. Like, what does that do? Right? But at the end of the day, all of that is to serve people. Do we have that perspective about serving? That this is about the people. That we want to share this gospel that we have. To display the love of Christ the best we can. To have the best programs we can so that they may know the gospel. if we think serving as this job, as these tasks, then it quickly becomes a burden. It becomes tiring. It might seem fine for a bit, but if you're not thinking about why you're doing this, that is to change people's lives, then you will be tired of it. You'll want to quit. You know, there's something about people that's very important to us. We're affected by each other in a very special way. When people pass away, we cry. When babies are born, we're filled with joy. There's something about people that are so important to us. And that's the only way we can think about serving. That we are serving people. And that by serving people, we are ultimately serving God, serving Christ. That we are part of His kingdom work. I hope that is our mindset in our service to the church, to each other, to God. That everything we do, that is not about these tasks. It's not about good programs. It's not about good music. It's about the people. And that is why we serve. And that is why we're called to serve. And I hope all of you have that heart to help people. Not just in the church, but outside of the church also. You are called so that sinners can be saved. If you all claim to be believers in Christ, again, you are being called out. God is challenging you to serve Him in some way. But I know we make these excuses for ourselves. We come up with different reasons as to why we can't do something, or why it isn't the right time, or, oh, I don't have, you know, the time in my schedule to do these things, or I feel like I can't put my full effort into it, or we make these excuses for ourselves. And a lot of the times it's just because we don't want to serve. But why is that? Why are these obstacles stopping you? Because again, it's not you. How can you say that it's me serving? It is God who strengthens you. So you can't make that excuse. I don't have time. I don't have the ability. If God has put that passion in your heart, He will make a way for you to do it. God will use you powerfully. And we're preaching about servanthood and the call to serve because in our church we feel it's been hard to find servants. And it's not to blame you. It's to blame the church in general. To blame the culture of the church. To blame the pastors for not preaching about it enough. And, you know, last year it came to a head when there were no deacons who decided to accept the nomination. That's when we realized, man, we're not doing something right. Maybe we're not thinking about this enough in our hearts. Maybe we're not praying about it enough. Maybe we're not preaching about it enough. But I hope that today we can understand that this call to serve, this calling that we all have, that it is not about how good we are, how capable we think we are. It's not about our past sins. As long as we have repented, if that those don't matter anymore, it doesn't even matter about our lack of faith. Right? Even Paul, who we consider to be one of the most faithful of men, he even attributes his faith to the Lord. So if we don't know all these things, what is stopping us? what is stopping us in our hearts? And all of us have different things. I can't say that I know all of your hearts. But here today, I hope that we can all think about where we are with God. To really search our hearts. To see where we've been refusing His call, maybe. To see where God is maybe calling us right now to serve. And this doesn't have to be to do big things. There are many ways to serve our church. Every year we have an interest survey. That thing is like so long. It's like 30 boxes you can check on that thing, right? But whatever you serve in, remember, that is for the people. It's for God. It's for His kingdom. What doors is God opening for you? Or what doors has God opened for you? And you just refuse to answer the call. You refuse to answer that challenge from Him. And I talked a lot about serving and what it's about. But I think verse 17 kind of sums it up perfectly. That is, all of this is for the King of Kings, the King of the Ages, the immortal, the invisible, the only God who deserves all of the honor and glory forever and ever. And that is what we're here to do. To show the world that all the glory and honor goes to our God, our King, our Savior, our Redeemer. And at this time, could we bow our heads? And I invite the praise team to come up. Just take an extended moment to come before God. And ask Him to speak to you at this time. To see where He might be challenging you, where He has called you out. Or, like I shared, maybe He's challenging you to repent of your sins so that you can serve. Maybe He is challenging you right now to serve in some way. And for others of us, I know that we may not feel that we should serve. Or we might feel that we can't serve or shouldn't serve. Ask God why you feel that way. Why you have that in your heart. Why you feel that you don't have the time to do it. Why you feel like you don't have the energy to do it, or the strength to do it, or the ability to do it. Because again, God has called all of you to serve, if you can say that you trust in Him. Just take a moment to pray. Ask the Lord to search our hearts. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we pray that You may speak to us during this time. That God, many of us have refused to answer Your call. And Lord, that we refuse to answer the opportunity that You've given to us. And we make excuses. We say that we're not good enough, we're not ready. But Lord, a lot of that is just our selfishness, our insecurities, our fears. Lord, pray that those things would not dictate how we serve you, how we live our lives as Christians. But instead, we could overcome those sins and fears that we have so that we can be a part of your kingdom work, that we can be a part of that special work that you have for us. That we don't just live our lives just coming on Sundays and listening to sermons and feeling better about ourselves, but that we actually do something about our faith, do something about what we believe. So Lord, continue to speak to us here today. And I pray and hope that every single person here can know what they are called to do, can know how they are called to serve you, and called to live a life that builds your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray.